Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, here with producer Nate Vaughn, and we are at the 2016 NFL Scouting Combine, Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana, and we're coming to you from Radio Row. That's the ambient sound that you can hear right now. It's not the clean, quiet audio that you're accustomed to when we come to you from Vikings Entertainment Network Studios. We are at the center of the NFL universe, Radio Row at Lucas Oil Stadium. We've been here all week. We arrived here on Monday, got a bunch of stuff done. We interviewed Vikings Director of College Scouting, Jamal Stevenson. We took a behind-the-scenes tour with Vikings Certified Head Athletic Trainer Eric Sugarman as he showed us some of the medical areas here at the Combine. Not a place that is made for TV, but a place that is made for VEN, thanks to Shugs. So all that stuff is up on the website, a bunch of stand-up interviews with a lot of media analysts. That's been really cool. We encourage you to go to the website to check that out. So for those of you who are just starting to tune in to Combine coverage, which might be a lot of you because the on-field drills have just begun on Friday and will continue through Monday, for those of you who are just tuning in, we're going to get you caught up on some of the best stuff that we've uncovered here at the Scouting Combine all week. Take a listen to some of this. About this time last year, we asked you if you thought the Vikings could win the North, and you said if a couple of things go right, X, Y, and Z, it can happen, and it did happen. What did you like about the 2015 Vikings?
Yeah, I mean, I remember saying that I thought they were a playoff team. I like just, you know, physical and tough. You know, we talk about defensive linemen, like, the Vikings will bring it. You know, and it's not just, you know, it's not just the, like, Linval Josephs of the world. It's kind of everyone. You know, it's third rounders who we've never heard of who all of a sudden come in and get six sacks or whatever it is. And you're like, who is that guy? You know, those sorts of things. I mean, it's just a tough, aggressive, physical defense that I like. And, you know, offensively, you run the ball and try to complete passes on third down. Now, I think, you know, the thing that's going to be interesting to me this year for the Vikings is, you know, if Teddy's going to take the next step, which I think he is absolutely poised to do, what does the offense look like? Is it more aggressive on first down? You know, is it, which is kind of taking the ball to Adrian's hands a little bit, which is okay as long as you're making, you know, making yards. I'm just curious to see what the offense kind of looks like as he morphs into the, you know, sort of franchise quarterback that the Vikings think he is.
The continued growth of the team, I mean, doing it the right way. You know, you see Mike Zimmer come in, takes a young defense, makes a few adjustments. First year, 30 points down to 21. Second year, under 21 points. Formula for success. Second year, he's got Teddy Bridgewater out there. Teddy Bridgewater plays the first year. He goes 6-6, scores 22 points a game without Adrian Peterson. Kyle Rudolph, two starters on the offensive line. Now you put him with Adrian Peterson. Now the offense is now getting in a winning formula. What you can anticipate now, a couple moves in free agency in the draft. It's a good core of good young players on both sides of the ball. Draft well, things are going to be successful because now the formula is there. Quarterback, defense, offensive production, running back, that gets you into the playoffs.
What did you like about the 2015 Vikings?
Identity. I thought the team got an identity. And I think that identity is now solidified. It's a team with a coach and a quarterback and a running back and a purpose. And they're all on the same page. And they're going to be really difficult to compete with, I think, the next 2 to 3 years.
Well, I thought they made some big improvements, particularly defensively. And obviously, I think you guys anchored yourself on the defensive line with the guy we call Big Belly, Linval Joseph, on our show, NFL Insiders on ESPN. Particularly in the run defense. I mean, I remember the game I covered when you guys went against the Rams and how much he was able to stop Todd Gurley or his contribution in doing that prior to Bridgewater getting hurt. And then after that, Latavius Murray, obviously the work in the playoffs as well. So to see what he was able to do, and in addition to that, have your linebacker step up like Bard despite the injuries, and then now trying to solidify the secondary with Harrison Smith and hopefully getting him done on an extension.
But this team's shown that they're built to be a bully in the NFC. They look like those teams that we've seen dominate in recent years. We saw how Seattle was able to be able perennial power. We've seen how Carolina has been able to do it. I think Minnesota could be next.
A big part of the Combine experience is press conferences for each team's GM and head coach. For the Vikings, the GM is Rick Spielman, of course, and he was in the media center on Wednesday taking to the podium, meeting with local beat writers, going on PFT Live with NBC Sports Mike Florio, and the like. So he had a lot to say, but one of the things that was a common theme with both Spielman and Zimmer in looking back at the 2015 Vikings, and it's interesting to note it because here we are at the Combine talking about the next generation of stars, the young players, but both Spielman and Zimmer made sure to mention the value that they saw from some Vikings veterans in 2015.
Yeah, Chad, I know, was out of contract. You know, his role reduced a little bit last year. We talked about guys on our football team that still can play the game and contribute to us winning, and Chad showed that last year, even though his role was reduced. But that leadership, you can't put enough emphasis on that, especially when you have a young ball club. And we have older vets like Chad Greenway, Terrence Newman, who came in and did a great job for us this year in his role, and what we're trying to establish in that locker room, because those guys are true pro pros. And the other guy, and I know probably was disappointed from a statistical standpoint, but what Mike Wallace brought into our locker room and his buy-in and his sacrifice from a standpoint of stats to what was best for the team. And I know Coach Zimmer mentioned it in his postseason press conference, but he was a true professional. And everything he was asked to do, he did it to his best. And his leadership also was very key to, I think, the success that we had on the field.
So both Spielman and Zimmer crediting Chad Greenway and Terrence Newman for the value that they brought to the team, not just in them playing, but in their influence on younger players. Spielman also went out of his way to credit Mike Wallace and Brian Robinson, two other veterans who provided some value to the Vikings, were good leaders and good examples. Sticking with the talker of Chad Greenway and the value he brought, we caught up with Matt Bowen, a former standout safety at the University of Iowa who's very familiar with Chad Greenway. Matt also played in the NFL, so he knows what it takes to play at this level. He also has an appreciation for Chad Greenway.
A lot of University of Iowa ties to the Vikings. We could stand here all day and talk about them. It begins with Fred Zambrilletti all the way up. But Chad Greenway is still a Viking, and Coach Zimmer had some nice things to say about him. I don't know what your familiarity is with Chad, but what do you thought about his career so far?
Tremendous leader and a total pro. The magic thing about Chad Greenway, he does it on the field, off the field. He's always prepared to play. He does the right things. He plays with technique. He knows how to use his hands. And most importantly, and this comes from Iowa, our old defensive coordinator, Norm Parker, who had passed away. I played for him, and Chad played for him. The best compliment you can receive as a football player, it's not stats, it's how tough you are. When you're done, someone said, was that guy a tough player? He's one of the toughest guys I know. Great pro, great guy to be around. I know he helps that football team from a leadership standpoint.
We stick with the veteran theme. Rick was also talking about Adrian Peterson at the 2016 NFL Scouting Combine. He was asked if he's begun to think about what life will be like for the Vikings after Adrian Peterson. Adrian turns 31 in March and is entering his 10th season in 2016. So naturally, people are going to start to wonder when the end is going to come for number 28. You know, and I know, that the end doesn't look anywhere close to coming for number 28 after the season he had in 2015. He led the NFL in rushing with 1,400 yards, the fourth best rushing season in Vikings history. He was the heart and soul, the bread and butter of the Vikings offense. But Rick says when you're building a team, when you're the GM, you always have to have an eye out for when you may be missing a player because of injury or because of retirement. So while Rick is encouraged about Adrian's prospects for 2016, he also knows he has to plan for the future.
In a running back, you know, you're one injury away. And we'll eventually get down there. I think Adrian still is a very productive running back in this league. I mean, he won the rushing title again this year, and it's amazing the stamina and the physical specimen that he still is. But at some point, everybody has to retire. And I don't know when that point is. Adrian may defy the odds and play to his 50. I don't know. But, you know, we're very excited about some of the young guys. You know, Matt Asiata came in and always done a good job in his role. And then, you know, we drafted Jerick McKinnon, who is, when he gets an opportunity getting the ball in his hands, he shows that he can be a very explosive playmaker as well. So when you're building a roster, I think, regardless if you have an Adrian Peters or not, you always got to anticipate the potential disaster of a player being gone because of an injury, and how are you still going to be an effective football team even if he's not there.
Those are a few bullet points from Rick Spielman's time in the Media Center. To read the rest of our reaction from Rick Spielman's interviews in the Media Center, go to Vikings.com and look for 5 takeaways from Spielman's press conference. It's an article that I wrote and that the guys added to with videos and other assets. So go to the website, check that out. Let's move on to Mike Zimmer. On Thursday, Coach Zimmer came to the Lucas Oil Stadium concourse where Radio Row is located. He took to the podium and talked about a bunch of things. I thought one of the more interesting things was Zimmer talked about Teddy Bridgewater and what he hopes to be saying about his quarterback 1 year from now.
Each game is going to determine how we play. We want to win games, and I don't have a problem winning game 13-10 and running the ball a bunch of times, and especially finish the game running the ball. I have no issues with that whatsoever. I'd like to win him 24-10. I don't know that he'll be throwing the ball more, but really what, at the end of the day, when I come back here next year, if I'm still here, I want to say is, man, Teddy really, he took over this offense. He was really in charge of everything he did here. He took charge of the league. Whatever that means, if it's getting us in the right plays, if it's throwing a ball more, if it's throwing a ball less, but just taking charge of this thing, because this is it's going to be his baby eventually.
On the topic of Teddy, we also caught up with ESPN's Josina Anderson, who had an opinion on our franchise quarterback.
As your GM was just saying in his presser back there in the room, Teddy Bridgewater is somebody that they continue to want to invest in. My personal feeling, though, is that he has to show a good market improvement in his third year, particularly in handling pressure situations. I do feel like the honeymoon period is over with him, and it's really time, obviously, with the help of his wide receiver assets, to take it to another level, because Adrian Peterson is not getting any younger.
One of the better players on the Vikings defense, certainly a safety, Harrison Smith, who had a great season in 2015 and seems like a perfect fit in Mike Zimmer's defense because of his versatile skill set. Now, Harrison Smith was a talker for us this week at the Combine because Mike Zimmer talked about him in his press conference.
Well, I think this, that if Harrison Smith was paired with a guy that had some other qualities, we could allow Harrison to be more of an impactful player. So I don't know if that answered your question or not, but I think Harrison can be more impactful if he had the right kind of guy next to him.
And going back to Matt Bowman, who we had sound of earlier on the Wobcast, he also likes Harrison Smith and has some opinions about how the Vikings can pair another safety with Harrison.
You know, safeties are so often put into two different buckets, the ball hawk and then the in-the-box defender. But is that fair? Is that how you would categorize them, or is there more to it than that?
When I played, yeah. But the game's changed so much. You look at college football on Saturdays, you look at the Big 12, teams are scoring 50 points a week. And now in the NFL, you're getting more of those spread concepts and those spread quarterbacks coming to the NFL, those spread wide receivers. The game's more wide open. So you need guys who can do both. What I say is you need 2 free safeties. You need guys that are physical, that are tacklers and are tough, but also guys that have range and versatility. And that's what you really want in both those guys. But it's such a hard position to scout. We see so many teams year after year draft players that either don't develop within their system or struggle at the NFL level because they're asked to do both those things. You can't just say I'm a strong safety anymore. I play in the box. Well, 60% of the game now is played in nickel or dime. You have to be able to move, and you have to be able to do different things.
And what would happen if the Vikings were to get a guy who had a similar skill set to Harrison Smith? Say it's not as elite a player as Harrison Smith, but the same type of player. Because Mike Zimmer talked about that earlier today in his press conference, that if we can get a safety with a versatile skill set to put next to Harrison Smith, even Harrison can be more impactful.
Well, it allows you to do different things coverage-wise. When you have 2 guys that are versatile, you can roll them both. You can roll one down in the box, roll one back to the middle third, roll one back to cover 2 alignment, blitz the other guy. You never know where either guy's coming from. Now you have the best hand of cards when you come to the line of scrimmage. Like I said, if you watch Minnesota on tape and watch the defense under Zimmer, you don't know what's coming. There's a lot of disguise, a lot of confusion they create. So if you have two of those players, it also allows you to play more with your base defense. Okay, like I said, nickel and dime 60% of the time. You play with your base defense, or go even more creative, play with a big nickel, play with a big dime set out there. Put one of your safeties as a dime and put them in the box and blitz them. There's so many creative things you can do when you have that type of talent.
Here at the Combine, while the coaches and scouts are looking at draft-eligible prospects, free agency is all the rage in the media center because free agency is right around the corner. It's March 9th, and people love to talk about free agency, and you can find some good players in free agency. The Vikings have certainly done that in the last couple of years, but the Vikings also have not gone all out in free agency. They've taken a prudent approach. It was interesting. I thought Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer and USA Today's Tom Pelissero framed the Vikings' free agent approach perfectly.
When you're messing around in free agency, I think the more you know a player, the better chance you have of being correct. And so for me, a lot of this has been familiarity. You know, not only me knowing them, but them knowing me and how I am too. So, you know, I think that's an important part of the process as well. But, you know, we'll just have to see. I really like my football team right now. I like the way they work, their mentality, the way they do the things. And, you know, if we can continue to add players that have our vision and where we can see them fitting in, then I think it's great.
Yeah, and I think that we've seen Rick Spielman through his time as general manager dabble in free agency. You know, there have been at times where he spends on a Linval Joseph and is able to get something out of that. He has made moves before in free agency. Generally, it's going to be a patient approach. I think that the thing to always remember with the Vikings in free agency is focus primarily on the second contract guys. If you're talking about giving somebody a bunch of money, you're not going to do that to the guy who's already gotten his second deal. Now, if it's a specific case like a Newman, a one-year contract filling a specific role, all that he brought both on the field and in the locker room for Mike Zimmer, certainly you're going to consider that. But if you're looking at the free agents that are out there, the guys who are going to get multi-year deals, always look for those guys that are 26, 27 years old.
Lots more stuff from Mike Zimmer's time on Radio Row and at the podium. You know, he talked about how the Vikings have built a strong defense and how they haven't gotten to where they want to be, a lot of work yet to do. And he made a basketball analogy with cornerback Xavier Rhodes. So that was interesting. You can read more of our reaction from Mike Zimmer's time and the media center by going to Vikings.com and looking for the five takeaways from Zimmer's combine presser. It's an article that I wrote earlier in the week. So we go from talking about current Vikings players and potential free agents to the reason we are all here in Indianapolis, and that's scouting players for the 2016 NFL Draft. Bucky Brooks, Charles Davis, Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network, Todd McShay from ESPN. I mean, these are the guys outside of Mike Mayock and Mel Kiper that you all listen, watch, and read the most when it comes to pre-draft hype. Well, we caught up with all of them. They talked about this class, the Vikings roster, and what the Vikings could do at number 23. You're studying the tape. You're going to the Senior Bowl, so you know these players. We're just starting to get to know them right now. The Vikings are at 23, and I don't think you can really pigeonhole the Vikings for one or two positions. They could go a variety of different spots. So just give us your thoughts on where the Vikings are, picking 23rd, what their options are.
Yeah, when you're a team like them and they went to the playoffs last year, and you're a team that, for the most part, is constructed to where you're not worried about losing people. All right, there's not a ton of movement there. Obviously, they'll make some decisions about what they want to do with Chad Greenway, you know, and he's the type of player that you always want around your ball club. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him back with the team. But, you know, I look at, you know, certain positions, you know, like last year, Terrence Newman, tremendous year. But, you know, like they said in that movie, Coming to America, Terrence Newman's like 137 years old now, okay? And the only reason I bring that up is how many corners do we know, Mike, that are playing and playing well in the league that are plus 30? I think last year there were eight or nine guys total in the league, and I'm not sure all of them were starters. But Terrence played at a really high level. Does he come back? Do they count on him to be the starter? Or do they decide to keep supplementing? They did it last year with Trey Waynes. Wide receivers last year, I mean, the young man Diggs.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Good find. You know, Stephon Diggs, I knew he was great coming out of high school. I didn't think he had the career expected at Maryland. There's some mitigating circumstances between some injuries and some other things, but he showed that type of talent last year. Upshue at the wide receiver position, but still might need a little more polish there, you know? Continue to think about the running back position just because Adrian is there and he just fools us all the time. But do you have the right guys behind him? Is McKinnon the right guy? Asiata there? I think that they're probably pretty well set as you go there. But big thing, of course, you know, with a young quarterback, I don't care who you are, the Tennessee Titans are saying what? We got to do what?
Protect
Marcus Mariota. I think the Vikings are going to continue to say the same thing about Teddy Bridgewater.
Do you like this draft then, if that is going to be a focus of a team, of the Vikings? Let's protect the quarterback. Whether you're talking guard or tackle, do you like this draft? And specifically, do you like the first two rounds for that position?
Yeah, I think it's pretty solid in there. I think that the defensive linemen, that's where you're loaded. I mean, my goodness, we may talk about a guy in the fifth round that people will have second round grades on. You know, it's going to be like that for the defensive line. It's just going to be flat out loaded. But I think there are plenty of good prospects up front. It's almost, I remember Senior Bowl almost felt like we were spending so much time on the D-line that we were really devaluing the O-line, but there were guys that could play. And so, you know, getting in there, you know, Cody Whitehair at guard, you know, from Kansas State. Reason I say guard, he played tackle at Kansas State. But similar to a Brandon Scherff last year, who was a tackle that I projected inside at guard, I'd say Whitehair would be the same way. You know, guys like that, you know, as a Josh Garnett, what round would you get him in out of Stanford? Another guy that would play inside. You know, what's going on with John Sullivan for you guys at center? Are you thinking about a guy who can move in there and play? Is Nick Martin from Notre Dame a guard or a center? I would take him as a center and start him right away, but that's just me. So those types of questions you have to answer. You know, the tackles, we know Tunsil and Ronnie Stanley, the top two tackles, they're not going to be around at 23. If they're around at 23, call me, because we're going to have to figure out what the heck happened on that one. But once you get past them, there's still plenty of other guys who can play.
Now, I know you're not big, like, mock draft guy. You're more, I'm just going to rate the best players, okay? Vikings are at 23. So give us some names. Where you like to start with the Vikings, like, in your list, 18 through 25? What are some names there?
Well, you've got a lot of options there. When you kind of look at the offensive line position, I think we've got a guy like Jack Conklin from Michigan State who could really kind of, I think he could play left tackle, he could play right tackle, he could kick in and play guard. Kind of a real physical, tough kid who I think would fit in well there in Minnesota. You've got Taylor Decker from Ohio State, who's a tackle, I think could play on the left side, could play on the right side. So those are two physical Big Ten type guys you see in that mix. Jermaine Ifedi from Texas A&M. I think after this week in Indianapolis, you could start seeing his name creep up there. Big, physical, 6'6", 320-plus pounds. He's got long arms. I like him as a tackle. Some teams like him as an interior player. But those are just some of the offensive lineman types I could see being available. So now you've got a young quarterback. You've got a stud young receiver. I could almost see them looking maybe to go back to that well, get another weapon for Teddy Bridgewater, get a little more explosive. And I know, you know, you've got some speed guys there, but I look at a guy like Coleman from Baylor. To me, I think he's a special player. To have another fastball to team up with Diggs, it'd be fun to watch that offense, especially coming indoors. It ain't going to hurt him.
Any players in this draft that could be used to help improve the Vikings offense?
Well, obviously, from a fantasy football perspective, everyone wants a playmaker, someone that can allow Teddy to throw it all over the yard. Stephon Diggs was a nice find as a young player. They could benefit from having a big receiver that can do some of the dirty work between the hashes. Maybe a guy like a Josh Dotson. Laquan Treadwell, if he happened to slip, would be a nice fit down there. I believe if they don't go the big body route, maybe a guy like Corey Coleman to add more speed, depending on what they elect to do with Mike Wallace.
All right, let's go to defense. You know, you got a Vikings defense with head coach Mike Zimmer that has pretty good players at every level. So when you take a look at that group, you know, where do you add to it that can be most effective and a guy who can contribute right away or a position that would help contribute right away?
You know, it's tough. They are really, really loaded. They drafted Trey Waynes a year ago. Didn't have to play him. He played behind Terrence Newman. So you actually get another draft pick when he gets on the field and does some things. I think the one thing that I would say, maybe a free safety, a true free safety that allows Harrison Smith to do his deal. I know they had success with some of their younger players, but maybe there's a guy like a Darian Thompson that can come in and be a starter, be the communicator, the traffic cop, and allow them to play. But when I look at that team, they don't have a big weakness on the defense side of the ball.
Well, I think to begin with, I think they need more explosion on offense, so that people lay off Peterson. I think that's very important. But I think if Zimmer wants to play the kind of defense that he wants to play, he's going to need to really do more things in the secondary so that, you know, he can come after the quarterback, because that's what he wants to do. So I figure they're going to go defense first more than anything else. And it is a best player available draft for the Minnesota Vikings. We can sit here all day and analyze players. And, you know, we're just beginning to understand who's here and who's real and who's not and where guys are going to slide. And that's why coaches and general managers and scouts are here. But they need to continue to build through the best player available. Can't miss.
Well, the defensive line group is loaded. So, you know, if you're talking strength, my guess is when you get to that range of the draft, that's where probably the best players are going to be, whether it's Jerron Reed, defensive tackle from Alabama, or Vernon Butler, another defensive tackle, Louisiana Tech, Chris Jones, who's kind of a defensive tackle, DN hybrid from Mississippi State. But I also think offensive tackle, which is a position of relative need potentially for the Vikings. I think there's potentially some good depth and could be some talent there. You'll see Laremy Tunsil from Ole Miss go early. You'll see after that Ronnie Stanley go early from Notre Dame. But then I think there's a little bit of a drop-off. Conklin from Michigan State is a right tackle. He's not a left. He's very good as a right tackle. Could be a 10-year starter. Really like him, but he's not your prototypical left tackle with that athleticism that you're looking for. Taylor Decker is another guy. You watch him on tape, you almost forget that you're watching him because every play it's the same thing. He doesn't dominate anyone. He's not flashy. But he's steady Eddie. I mean, he's just so efficient. But with 33-inch arms and solid but not exceptional athleticism, he's a right tackle too. So, and then there, Jermaine Afidi, I believe is how you pronounce it, from Texas A&M. Maybe the most underrated offensive tackle. Still developing, though. But those are the three guys, I think, in the late first round that would make some sense.
You know, you right off the bat at 23, that era, you mentioned defensive linemen, and that does seem to be a strength of this draft, but it's also a strength of the Vikings. With that said, do you believe in the idea of, hey, we don't need this position, but this is the best player, and let's strengthen a part of our team that's already strong?
I could sit here and tell you yes, definitively, but I'd be lying. It just kind of depends on what's going on and if you have similar grades. You know, if Rick Spielman's sitting and looking at his board and he has similar grades on an offensive tackle or a guard and a defensive tackle, he's probably going to take the offensive lineman. But it kind of depends on how things flow. I can say this. You look at New England years ago, you look at Green Bay, you look at Denver recently, four out of 5 years drafting a pass rusher with that first round pick. Carolina, what they did a few years ago with Star Latulule and Kawan Short and making sure they solidified their defensive line. I know it's a cliche, but it's never been more true. You just can't have enough pass rushers and defensive front guys. So if you get in a bind and there's not a position there, it's not a bad place to go.
Our buddy, voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, comes to the Combine every year and does two of his radio shows, which are 9 to noon weekdays on 100.3 FM, The Fan. He does two of his shows from here, and he gets all kinds of guests. Well, we had him as a guest on the Wobcast. We asked him what he's learned through 3 days here in Indy. Combine 2016, Paul, what have we learned?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, at this stage of the equation, given we do this before a lot of the on-field stuff takes place, and you know, you hear opinions off that, and you see things or glean things off that. You know, I think up to this stage, what I've learned is that for the Vikings from the 23 spot in the draft, if you are interested in an offensive lineman, I think you can get one that probably can start day one at that moment. From a defensive line standpoint, I think it's a very deep draft. Not exactly sure if the Vikings would do that at 23. But, you know, look at Danielle Hunter and some of these other players they've gotten over the years. You know, Rick has done a really good job deep draft finding guys who can help. So it seems to be a deep draft. Doesn't seem to be a very glitzy draft. But everybody's having a good time here.
You do your 9 to noon weekday radio show from here a couple of times. And in that process, you have a lot of guests on, just as we have a lot of guests on the website that we interview. So when you're talking to them, what are they talking about when it comes to the Vikings? Because we have the conversation all the time, and we frame it a certain way, and we talk about the same things. But someone from the outside might think of it differently. So yeah. What are the differences? What are they talking about?
That's a great question, because I have encountered a fair amount of that. And, you know, whether it's offensive coordinators for other teams, personnel people for other teams, or media types, they praise the way the defense is heading. And they praise the way Mike Zimmer executes games with George Edwards and the coaching staff, and just the unpredictable nature the Vikings seem to have on a game-by-game basis. Mike, as we knew when he was hired as coach of the Vikings, is very well-respected. He's extremely well-respected around the league. And, you know, winning a division championship is eye-opening on many levels for a lot of people around the league. You know, we go to Lambeau, the team beats the Packers, they win the division. But for us, we know winning the division is cool, but Seattle's on the horizon. Around the league, you know, when everybody's able to decompress, they look at who won the divisions and they're like, whoa, you know, the Vikings weren't very good in 2013, got better in 2014, and won the division in 2015. And I think that earns a lot of respect.
You know, the combine is such a fun time for a lot of reasons, but how about the last two mornings in the hotel before coming over here, talking to Heath Farwell about a variety of things, and then sitting chatting with Daryl Bevel, you know, about his time with us, about some of their close playoff losses and wins, about our two games this season against them.
Yeah.
That's kind of what makes the combine fun.
Well, you know, there was an interesting thing on Friday morning, Wobby, where we're sitting there sipping coffee, chatting with Seahawks offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel. And the Starbucks line is 40 people long.
Yeah.
And here comes Super Bowl winning coach Gary Kubiak. And you think that there should be a special line or like a designation where, you know, it's like there's a sign hanging saying Super Bowl winners, no line.
Right.
Like a TSA pre-check or something. And he waited in the line and chatted with a bunch of people, and that's the combine. I mean, the Broncos won the Super Bowl. They get a lot of credit for that, obviously, and can be very proud of it. But when you go to the Senior Bowl and then to the combine and free agency and the pro days and the draft, and then the off-season workouts and training camp, it legitimately is turn the page. Yeah. And, you know, your football immortality by winning the Super Bowl, but now everybody's out to get you, including in a Starbucks line.
Right. So what's next for 9 to noon in the Vikings conversation? What will you be talking about from now and through the draft process?
Honing in on the best candidates, the best players, or the opinions of what the Vikings will do not only at 23 but throughout the draft is something that forever has fascinated me with the draft process, more so during the 14 years of calling Vikings games than the few years just being radio guy before that. You know, I'm really, really immersed in it now. And also kind of slicing and dicing our way through this phenomenon known as Carson Wentz. And just with the North Dakota State University quarterback, in chatting with some offensive coordinators and some other personnel people, you know, I think going into the Senior Bowl and coming into the combine, a lot of the big opinions behind the scenes in the NFL wanted to look at it like, okay, well, he played substandard competition, he only started for 2 years, he had some injury problems, what's all the hype about? But after chatting with a few people whose opinions matter to me, they're immersed in him, and they look at it and they're like, no, this is very, very legit. He's big, he's athletic, he has a wonderful arm, he's a sweet kid, definitely or most likely won't be an off-field problem.
Yeah.
I think tracking Carson Wentz up to the draft and where he will be drafted, I think that's kind of fascinating.
It'll be fun for the conversation. You can catch all of that with PA on 9 to noon, 100.3 FM, The Fan, and also check out PA's show page, the Paul Allen show page. You can get various opinions from him there. Travel home safely, and we'll chat with you down the road. Thanks,
PA. Thank you, Wobby.
We're going to close this combine edition of the Wobcast in style, okay? Let me tell you this. Mike Zimmer joined Steve Mariucci and Melissa Stark of NFL Network earlier in the week, and he told a story that involved Deion Sanders and a Lamborghini. You're going to want to hear this.
You guys are doing great things, and I'll tell you who thinks you do great things is this guy that we work with named Deion Sanders. Have you ever heard of him? So I know you coached him.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you got some gray hairs
in
probably.
Dallas, right?
You coached him. Give us a Deion Sanders story, because I know he drove you nuts.
Well, he did drive me nuts, and I have plenty of stories about Deion.
Anything that you can tell.
Yeah. You know, let me tell you one good thing about him, though. You know, there were some times when coaches have bad game plans, right?
And Deion, he would tell you, I suppose.
He might tell me, but he will never tell the media.
He will always stick up. The player's got to make plays. The player's got to do this. He was never a guy that would ever throw anybody under the bus. And so I have always appreciated that. You know, I still talk to him a lot today. unfortunately, he calls me. But, you know, yeah. So we went to the batting cages one day. You know, no. he's a NFL.
He played pro baseball?
Yeah.
I was on his bus. He was, well, yeah.
Just
like
ask him.
For about five teams. Go ahead.
Just ask him.
Yeah.
I rode on his bus.
So anyway, he says, come on, we're going to go down the We're going to go down the batting cages. And so I go and get in his Lamborghini, right? And we're going down.
Wait a minute.
This is getting better by the minute.
Lamborghini?
Yeah. And we're going like 140 down 635. And I said, I'm not in that big a hurry to get there. But when we get there, we get in the batting cages. And you know, it's coming out. It's a pitching machine. So he's coming. He's bunting the ball. I said, man, didn't we come here to take swings? Yeah. So that was it.
Can he bunt?
Yeah, he's a pretty good bunter.
He probably started running out the parking lot.
Yeah, I think that's where he got most of his hits.
Well, that's a wrap for this edition of the Wobcast from Indianapolis, Indiana at the 2016 NFL Scouting Combine. A lot of stuff in this edition of the Wobcast and even more stuff on Vikings.com right now. So if you haven't yet, stick around the website, click around, watch videos, read articles, listen to the Wobcast, and stay tuned the rest of the week and the weekend and early next week because our coverage of the 2016 NFL Scouting Combine is going to continue right here on Vikings.com. Now, a lot of you have already downloaded the Vikings app because Wobcast listeners are hip and in the now, but if you haven't, you should download the Vikings app, and all of our great content will be delivered straight to your favorite mobile device. It's easy, and it's free, so you should do it. That's going to do it for this edition of the Wobcast. We'll be back with you again early next week to put a wrap and a bow on the 2016 NFL Scouting Combine. We'll talk to you then.
So, yeah!